It's getting darker when the sun is gone, and it's tough on the streets. You can still feel the heat. Baywatch Wild Nights. Baywatch Wild.
Thanks for listening to Baywatch Watch. We'll be back next week with an all-new episode. If you're just joining us, please subscribe to Baywatch Watch on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. And please leave us a review on the Apple Music Store. It really helps us out. Thanks, and until next time, stay wet. Nice, 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 nice. Hello, and welcome back to Baywatch Watch Nights. I'm Charlie.
And I'm Zach.
And we're back. We've got a great returning guest with us. It's been a while since you've been here.
Yeah.
I remember we were talking NASCAR or ballet.
F1.
Last time. NASCAR. F1. Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah. This was season 2 of Baywatch or something like that. Does that sound right?
Yeah, the normal
season time ago.
Yeah, the normal Bay. It was a couple of years ago. But it was great.
A different apartment. You actually made that, right?
I made the movie, yes. Yeah, surprisingly. Yeah, finish that. Yeah.
Nice.
Somehow.
Give yourself, yeah.
Somehow. A big old round of applause for me, huh?
Yeah, yeah. Congratulations.
All right, Steven.
And you probably wouldn't have done so if we hadn't talked about it on Baywatch.
This is true.
So yeah. Let's give a round of applause for Zach and I, too. Yeah.
I was like, shit, I said it on that podcast.
Happy to help.
Thank you, guys. Truly. And it's great to be back here. It's always great to be forced into watching another episode of Baywatch. So happy to be back.
Well, and you didn't even know that this show existed.
Yes.
So.
You were just telling us a second ago.
I had no idea. I was actually, honestly, I like it more than the original.
Ooh.
What I will say is I think for the purposes of this podcast, Baywatch Nights is fantastic because it gives you so much more because like it's so detached from any grounding whatsoever and defies so much logic that there is an infinite amount of things to talk about in each episode.
Absolutely.
Which is what is so great about it. Plus, you get your ghosts, your goblins, your vampires, which again, 9 episodes in to this television show, every episode, Mitch doesn't believe it's happening.
I can't. It makes no sense. What is going on here?
He's seen everything. He's seen ghosts. He's seen aliens. He's seen everything, and he's come in counter with them. And then he's constantly like, "There ain't no such thing as vampires." Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, but yeah, I'll make when we get into it a little comment on I'm so bad with TV character names, but the woman trying to convince him,
Ryan. Yeah,
that's his partner at the detective agency.
Yeah, right? She's really bad at explaining what's going
on.
In this episode, she's really bad. Everyone in this episode has a moment, like when Mitch sees Francesca the vampire in the hallway and then she walks down the hallway and disappears, and then Ryan comes out of the bathroom and he's like, never mind.
I know.
Like that would have been a perfect opportunity because she would have said that's the vampire and that's vampire stuff.
Yeah, Ryan takes forever to finally mention the not seeing her in the mirror, and then she never mentions it again to him or anyone else. And I'm like, that's the thing. You got to be
that's
like,
the thing.
She does not appear in a mirror.
She's a vampire. Really fixed on gloves. She's like, she wears
gloves, which is news to me. I've never heard that vampire factoid.
The
whole time you just say the mirror,
the mirror. The fact that the guy. I mean, like, there's so many things that could have been an indicator, but. Also, at the same time, given what's happening with this police station,
I don't think anyone would have paid attention.
Whatever is happening, like in this is like RoboCop, like level, like the city's bankrupt. We got to move and we got to do a little bit of police work, but there's only one exit. And
I laughed so hard at this. It like thinking about it from a writing perspective, I was like, I can't believe this is the choice they made on this one. It's hilarious.
Yes.
It's like, what is it? It's so confusing.
Yeah.
It's like, this is the day we're shutting it down and we're going to cement this place up. But there's still a little bit of business going on.
Still a little bit of business going on. We're still having the prostitutes who have been arrested approach the open desk and then be told when they need to come to court. We've also got the guy outside with the moving box. Yeah, like, the Mucky Mucks downtown. I can't believe it.
He had his moment. Yeah.
He had like one of those things where you're like, this is either the worst acting performance I've ever seen or the best.
Yeah. I appreciated it though. He went for it.
He's like cutting Mitch off mid sentence. Yeah. I can't believe this. He's Mucky Mucks downtown. They don't know. Yeah. They can't get a thing done. And it's like, we're moving to Van Nuys.
I know.
From Santa Monica?
I guess. Is that what it is? Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, do police stations just move several cities over? I don't think so. I don't know.
One in each of those places.
We'll cover it from over there.
Yeah.
We got a better rent deal.
That's and he's like, we should have moved a month ago. And now they want us out by the end of the day.
Why? I don't know.
Seemed to be like a complete jail as well. Like there were holding cells, but later in the episode when the ladies of the night are trying to make their way through, it looks as though it's like a multi-story jail.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. The truth is that they shot it at this huge warehouse area
shoot everything. But you know, like,
because when they walked up to the entrance, I was like, that does not look like a police station in any way whatsoever. Yeah,
I mean, it really did give me like RoboCop vibes, where it was like, this is like
a little dystopian,
absolutely. Yeah. Like dystopian. And then it's just becomes like a haunted house. It's also like really funny to me that, again, Baywatch Nights has done this several times, is that we have the lawyer Pantalone, we have Chantal and Rosie, the prostitutes.
Amazing characters, by the way, especially Rosie. I mean,
we have another police officer. And then who's
like inept and doesn't really know anything about them.
And then we have Ryan and Mitch. And so those four are expendable, right?
Oh, of course.
Why would any of them make it out? They're there just to die.
I will argue Rosie's amazing.
Chantal. Yes. I mean, Rosie's great.
Rosie's amazing, so I'm glad she made it. But you're right. Pantalone.
Pantalone, kill him.
Yeah, absolutely. And I forget, what was her name? It was like Doretha or something?
No, it was Doretha.
Doretha, that's what it was.
She had my favorite line in the whole episode. It was like, I work here.
I don't even know.
It's so funny. I had written down in my notes right before that. I'm like, she has no idea how any of this works. And she, you know, whatever. She's a cop here. And then in two sentences later, she said that. I laughed so hard.
Also, at the end of the episode, I'm still not entirely convinced that Mitch is not turning into a vampire, because all of that stuff started before Ryan walked in the door. His sensitivity to light, his laying down on that couch.
Is he
his
that
being
committed
like,
to character?
Yeah. So was he like, I gotta start
fully into character.
I'm gonna get Ryan real good, but to do that, I need an hour of prep.
Yes.
I'm very method on this. I'm gonna stick with it until the prank's over.
I also did like that it seemed like he came just from the crime scene, walked in, and then the first thing he does is like, I gotta look at this stack of mail. came today? All right, let's talk season two, episode 9, Night Whispers.
The German. Did you guys like the German on there? I looked it up because I'm like, what a word that is. So it was it said Vampirgeflüster.
Oh,
I'm probably
not
pronouncing that right. Which translates to Vampire Whispers. And I was like, I actually like that title better.
Yeah. Vampire Whispers or Vampirgeflüster?
Actually, both. Vampirgeflüster.
It does sound like, sort of sounds like some beer at some, you know, the brewery.
Oktoberfest.
It's like, I'll do a little Vampirgeflüster.
Yeah.
It's a red IPA.
Yes.
A red IPA.
Red Lion Tavern.
Yeah, we got blood oranges were soaked in there with the alcohol. So Vampirgeflüster.
Yeah.
Vampirgeflüster.
So this actually faked me out a little bit. I thought Ryan and Griff were going to see this woman jump to her death.
Oh yeah.
And that was going to be that I because when she stood up there and jumped down, yeah. I didn't get vampire until she started flying. At first I thought this was going to be like the, I thought the night whispers were going to make people commit suicide.
I see. Wow. Yeah.
Cause I was like, why is she getting all, I had the same thought. And I was like,
why is she getting all sexy?
All sexy for a little jump off, a little horny first.
That's yeah, that's fascinating. I had looked at the just like the quick synopsis ahead of time. I knew it was a vampire. So for me, I was like, she's a vampire. Like right away, I knew. But that's such so interesting. You guys both were like, what's wrong with this woman?
A lot more rewarding to have that reveal.
Sure. Yeah. That's smart.
Because what's funny to me is that you know, this would fetch a you know, kind of a pretty penny, but at the end of the day, for a vampire, it's a pretty modest apartment.
Yeah, you're right. She's had 400 years to get her shit together.
Why would you live in a building like where you have a bunch of like neighbors?
That's a good point. If you're a vampire and you're not like wildly successful, you're failing, I feel like, right?
Right.
So much time
exactly.
to get it all together.
Like, you should be rich. Like, that's the point, is you like, you're able to do this and you've like learned how to basically sustain yourself throughout the centuries. Instead, she's like paying, you know, at this time, like $900 a month.
Right.
Like, yeah. She's living in like Culver City adjacent.
Yes.
You know? Yeah.
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 Yeah. And so she is in lingerie. And she she takes a flower and rubs it on her cleavage, and then she kisses the flowers. Which I thought was interesting.
Glass. She had a glass as well.
She had a glass of champagne.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, it's very 90s, sexy 90s.
Very sexy 90s.
It was very, I actually.
Basic Instinct vibes. Mm-hmm.
I wrote down, this is the phrase that I just made this up. This is the phrase. When she kissed that rose, I wrote down she kiss throated it because it was so
it was very
intimate in this way. Like she was like, was she going to swallow this almost? Or it was weird. Yeah.
Did you also notice that when she does step out onto the balcony and she goes to refill her glass of champagne, that it is like a jug
of champagne?
Yeah, it's not like a Costco. Standard. Yes, like we're talking, it goes like it like gets much wider at the bottom in the sense that it's like it's like Chianti from an Italian restaurant. You know, like it is she got the
once
bulk.
Again. Get your stuff together.
Yeah,
or that she's had the finest wines.
The prop person was like, oh, you told me it was going to be Chianti, champagne.
Yeah. I know. That's exactly what happened, is they did not have an actual champagne bottle.
Yeah.
But at the same time, Griff and Ryan are on a run. Ryan won't shut up about not wanting to run. The entire time she is like, I don't want to run. I want Haagen-Dazs.
Yes. Yes. Also though, it did feel like Griff was like forcing her to run is what it almost sounded like. She's like, I don't want to do this, but he's like, you gotta.
I personally think that Angie Harmon is probably quite athletic, which is just, which it makes it very funny that it would be like, you know, like now and probably even a few years from then, it would be him being like, nah, you can't keep up with me, and then her dusting him and him being like, you know, but in this she's just like, I don't wanna, I'm tired, I don't want to, but she does end up saving their lives.
Yeah,
because at this moment Francesca the vampire swan dives off the roof of her building or her balcony.
Yeah.
And then flies and gets another runner.
Yeah, someone that jogged ahead of them a little bit.
Someone that jogged ahead of them, and then different than most vampires, slashes open his chest in order to get his pulmonary artery.
Right.
In order to get the richest source of blood in the body. Yeah.
Well, that's how you know it's real, you know? That's how it's like, this is
they
real.
Did the research.
Yeah.
And it's like, could it have been a tooth? He didn't rule it out.
Yes. Yeah. So every victim has, I think, is there like three or four in the episode? They all have like this slash across the chest.
Slash across the chest. Yeah. Yeah. So okay. Then
the Culver City killer.
When they find him, when Griff and Ryan find this guy, or right before they find the body,
okay,
he makes a noise, right? He made an orgasm noise, which made me laugh so hard. It was like, it's something like that. And I was what? Who dies? I don't know.
Is that why Griff had that reaction? Because he was like, I'll call 911, I guess. I think he was
just up to something else. Yeah. I don't know.
Not really like in a rush where it feels like these guys have experience with this. You'd think they'd be like, I'll call 911. So he's like, I guess I'll call 911. And she's like, okay. So then we cut to the crime scene. They're photographing the body. And then the detective mentions the woman, and then they're like, well, we heard a weird noise, like air coming out of someone. And then the detective makes a statement.
Oh yeah.
That's like, he's like, this park is not safe anymore. What with the illegals, the homeless, the muggers, and the gangs. It's like, whoa.
Yeah. Whoa. Yeah.
Whoa. What a statement.
Yeah, right before that he says, it's amazing what people do to each other in today's world, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, because crime didn't exist 10 years ago.
Slash open each other's chests and drain all of their blood. That's what people are doing to each other.
I know. It is funny that those are his suspects right now. Yeah. Like, this seems a little different, like, dude.
It doesn't really seem like any of these people would do that.
Nope. Yeah. Oh, a mugging gone wrong.
Yeah. So then he invites Ryan to come along on the investigation. Interrogates the woman in her apartment.
So strange. I'm like, this would not happen in the real world.
No, with Ryan there making phone calls from her phone, being like, hey, I need a full background check and an international license database.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, in another country, that wouldn't be her license plate because license plates are different in every country.
Right.
Would you do that if a cop was like, hey, you want to tag along on this investigation? Would you go?
I don't think so. No.
You want to go?
I was a witness, no. But if it was just like, hey, do you want to come hang? I'd be like, yeah, sure. I'm kind of curious.
It is strange that they're like, we got a suspect and you're a possible witness. So come along, let them see your face. Along.
And she's like, we didn't really see anything. And he's like, nah, well, come take a look anyways. And that woman is kind of like, she's acting very shady. She says all the right things. Like, she doesn't like to go out because the sunlight bothers her.
So Gen Z. So Gen Z.
Very Gen Z.
By the way, it's not that important, but earlier when he asks if she wants to tag along, he says, I know you didn't see anything, but maybe something will jog your memory, is what he says. Oh, like, come on.
Jogging. Yeah. Well, and then Griff is like, I don't really want to go.
And he's out of the episode.
Yeah, and he's not in the episode anymore.
Which is pretty funny.
I got a photo shoot. Nah, thanks.
Yeah, I'm over it.
Yeah. Which is very funny because, like, if there's a murder and the police are trying to figure things out, you couldn't be like, you know what, I got a photo shoot, so I don't really want to give a statement.
I don't know. In L.A., the cop might be an actor. He might get it, you know?
Yeah, oh, that's true. Yeah.
Like, hey, work's work, man.
Yeah.
Work's
work.
Wow. Who's doing the photos?
Yeah. Anyone I'd know?
Yeah. Run a deal right now or anything?
So then they say that there was blood on a nightgown in the bathroom. This is the moment where you would be like, well, we're going to bag that and we're going to go check it. But that's not what happens. She says it comes from shaving her leg. And the way that the blood comes back into the episode is that Ryan just ends up with blood on her.
Yeah. Did she take the dress or how? We don't know. Right. There's no explanation.
So what's weird is that she says that's from the victim. But the idea is that all of the victim's blood was gone.
Yeah.
So that doesn't really make any sense. But
yeah, a little confusing there.
And then
that's a plot hole for sure.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Thankfully, there's zero.
Otherwise, airtight. Otherwise, no cause for concern. And then, shocker upon all shockers, as Francesca agrees to go downtown, Ryan takes a look, and she is invisible.
Yeah.
She does not have a reflection in her clothing.
Also, that's interesting, right? Another shocker, maybe less shocking, but right before that, Francesca says to the detective, like, I'm going to put on my wrap. Could you help me with it? which it's just right. a thing you just put over your shoulders
right.
in your head. So I was like, why does she need help with this?
Yeah. Yeah. Which felt a little, like I said, like basic instinct-y. You would think she'd, mm-hmm. she'd use her powers of seduction, but she really yeah. only picks one eyes for one person.
That we'll get to later. Boy, does she want him.
Boy, does but she
yeah,
want him.
But yeah, so we just had this fun scene where you see the detective putting yeah. nothing on no one
yeah.
in the mirror. Yeah.
So, go ahead.
Well, I was just thinking, I guess they didn't have the budget to do like floating clothes or something.
Yeah, sure.
It was just too, yeah, it was, yeah. Or maybe that's too, you know, maybe vampires are like, because that would make sense if you are like you don't want to have.
You'd want invisible clothes.
Yeah.
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 True.
They figured that out. They didn't figure out how to get outside of a one bedroom apartment, but they figured
well, there's,
out.
Well, there's no advantage to having no reflection, right? That's actually
a disadvantage
to it.
Is.
Oh, yeah.
It's a tell.
You can't blend in. Yeah.
So you do want floating clothes.
Yeah.
Turn your back or, you know.
Or like the Hollow Man, like where you like put makeup on or bandages or something and then so that you at least like have a corporeal form. So.
Yeah, yeah.
Is it just mirrors? Does video, like if they're on like a phone talking to someone, video phone?
You know, it's weird. I think they kind of haven't really updated
they haven't, right?
mythology to adapt yeah. to changes in technology. They kind of stopped with mirrors.
Yeah, what happens with like a phone?
Yeah,
because a lot of cameras have mirrored lenses. So.
Right. Yeah. Oh yeah.
What about like an Apple Vision? Like an Apple Vision?
Dude, yeah, are they showing up in VR?
Yeah.
Are
we? Yeah.
I don't know.
We're seeing the mirror.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
Would it be floating goggles?
Yes.
Right? It would be, right? Or do they become part of the vampire itself as well? And they
do they transcendentally become invisible?
Yeah, a lot of questions about vampires. Wow. Update everyone.
Update it.
Yeah, we gotta get. Yeah, let's get up to Palo Alto and start getting.
Yeah,
we gotta get vampires back in the tech scene.
She could afford to be less weird, though, right? Like.
I think she's kind of enjoying it though too, I guess. That's the impression I got. She seems to be like, this is fun for me.
Yeah, it does seem like she's enjoying it, but it's wild that she's made it this far. Like,
yeah.
Because otherwise it seems like she's trying to blend in. Because based on her living situation, I'm like, why wouldn't you just get a haunted house? Like
Yeah. You know what? Also, she's a little lazy, I guess, as a criminal. She's just like committing a crime right outside from her apartment.
Yeah.
Like, go somewhere else, I think, right?
Because, like, also...
Maybe she was subletting.
She could be. That's what because we are meant to believe... I mean, she's 400 years old, but this is her first victim in the area because, like, it's not like they're like, we have a string of unsolved homicides.
So maybe she just moved in. Yeah, could be. Do you think she has a roommate? We don't know, right? She could.
Oh my God. She'd be like, my roommate is so fucking weird. She's doing this like Uma Thurman Pulp Fiction thing with her hair. So after the credits, we get Ryan calling for Mitch. She talks to Noomi on the phone, who he says a lot of boating stuff.
He ran a
19 pitch into a 20 and he's doing an IO at the docks. And I was like, IO West?
Yeah.
It's back. he and Sharna are down at the docks. So Mitch is working on an engine. And he makes a joke that a lot of people make about IKEA furniture is tough to put together. And then when you finish, you have all these extra parts and you're like, well, that probably went somewhere, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
So IKEA. Stole it from him.
I think so.
Stole it.
Yeah.
Well, this was very popular internationally. So yeah, you would say the Swedish.
You'd be in Sweden. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then I wrote Ryan tries to explain to Mitch, but does so in a very clunky way. And she cannot. She's like, she wants him to say it, I guess.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe that's what it's the idea. I don't know.
Yeah. It was so, it was like,
yeah,
it was like, come on, just tell us what the film's about. Give us the logline.
Yes. It was very much like that.
It's like a movie. It's like some Star Wars. Yeah. But
it'd be so like people.
Yeah.
And then they'll do some stuff and then like maybe try something else. Just tell him about the mirror.
So basically she is walking him to the vampire thing, and then she says she'll prove it to Mitch, and I was like, oh, you're gonna show this woman, and like, no, she's gonna prove it by taking out her 1,000 page book about vampires, going immediately flipping to page 30 and having the answer on that page. She just goes like, huge book, there it is, right there, proof. That means she wears
gloves. She wears gloves in California in summer.
Gloves in California in August.
Oh, and then Mitch sort of makes like, I think, a masturbation
jerk-off joke about the hairy palms.
Yes, he's like, what does he say? He's like, I might have to worry about that, or something.
He says, that was my biggest fear.
Oh, that was my biggest fear.
She says that vampires wear gloves because they have hair on their palms, and he goes, that was my biggest fear, because that was when we, you know, when you're young, it's like, oh, if you masturbate too much, you get hair on your palms, and that's how people know that somebody is a
Wow, I had no idea about that.
Really? You never heard about that?
I was just like, he's concerned about his hand hair.
No, it's a master- okay. And then right into a Ross Perot joke.
Topical.
She's never voted. He's like, oh, Ross Perot would be disappointed. And then I wrote, Mitch is being such a dick the whole time. It's like, first time she used a driver's license or got a driver's license was in 1951. He's like, okay, so she's an old woman. And it's like, yeah, she should be in her 60s, but she looks like she's 27. And so Mitch decides he's going to go, but he's going to take a shower first.
Yeah. So, by the way, she said she got her first credit card in 1951.
That was her like, credit seemed, card?
Yeah. And I was like, that seems early. So I looked it up and it was 1958 they were invented. So I don't know how she did it.
She's a vampire.
Yeah. That's the second.
The Bank of Transylvania had credit cards.
Yeah. Before they were invented, they had credit cards. Yeah.
Yeah.
By the way,
I don't think women were allowed to have them yet.
Really?
Yeah, women weren't like allowed to have their own bank accounts until like the late 70s. It's crazy.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Well, the Bank of Transylvania was very progressive.
Yeah.
Hold on, I'm going to look that up because it sounds wrong. But
It does sound wrong.
You're also wrong. Like whispering it in a way where it's like you're sort of telling us like, you shouldn't believe this.
1974 was the first time a woman could get a credit card.
Wow. Yeah. That is nuts. That's
right? Really big.
What was that? What'd you say, 1974. Wow.
It wasn't until the Equal Credit Opportunity Act, ECOA, in 1974 that women were able to get their own credit cards in their own name.
Jesus.
Like one allowed it anywhere, or that just made it so everyone had to, are you not sure? Okay.
No. Everyone could. So that was the first time a woman could open a credit card in her own name. Now you could get like, let's say your husband opened a credit card account. He could get a duplicate card for his wife that she would be allowed to use. But for a single woman to get a credit card, also 1974. The Equal Credit Opportunity Act passed that women in the U.S. were granted the right to open a bank account on their own.
Wow.
That is nuts.
1974 for both of those things. I knew it was like crazy late. A lot later than you would think.
That's really late.
Yeah.
Wow.
So if I was back then, I wouldn't have stood for that.
Oh my God, Charlie.
What?
Oh, I thought you meant for the act passing. You mean for...
Give me a break. Yeah. No. Ally.
That's now my favorite.
1974.
That blows my mind, actually.
That is really...
Yeah.
That's like... Wow. What? That's like Gen X, right?
No, that would... Or you mean like they were born? You're saying
born around then? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I guess.
They weren't part of it.
Yeah, they had nothing to do with the act passing.
It would be a little while before they could get one. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure Gen X really held that back. You know, that was really there.
Oh, I'm seeing the reason why here.
Wait, what's
women,
that?
Yeah. Women be shopping.
Okay, Charlie, you said earlier you were an ally, and now I'm in doubts.
I'm sorry.
I don't know about you. Yeah, you back then.
Me back then.
I had a question, Stephen, because you've brought up generations two or three times, so I'm going to consider you an expert on this. What generation is Francesca part of?
The
400 years, right?
400 years, yeah. So that would be
the
1590s. Let's see. And we're 1590s. We're Gen Z now. Yeah, so I'd probably say like Gen G.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, that might be about right.
Yeah. It is weird. I'm wondering when they started counting generations, because if you think about it, we're way past 26. Mm-hmm. So it's like,
Yeah, I don't think they really did before, right? That is a good question.
No, because X was like the first one that was like enumerated. It was like baby boomers, Gen X.
They, you know, here's the thing. I think they always kind of shift. Like sometimes they're like, this is this generation. And sometimes they kind of change like, oh, no, this is part of it as well now. Whatever. It's not like a fine line always. But I think it's like baby boomers was obviously one. And I don't know if there was like a name. What is it? Is there a name for the
greatest generation?
Greatest generation. But that came late. That's like from, isn't that from like a TV special or something? The Greatest Generation.
Yeah,
and that's after the World War. People will fought in some like that. World War II.
Like Gen X.
So I think it is a more modern thing.
Was it really like in my mind? Whenever I think of Gen X, I think of it as like X is in like hard rock extreme, like.
Hard rock.
Is that? But I mean, did that have something to do with it? Because there was sort of like that's like your
grunge, what is it? I'm trying. I am no expert. Was it like the No, I was going to say like the Lost Generation. Yeah, why is it X? I feel like grunge obviously is very much associated with it, but I don't know.
Right.
I don't know what the direct relation to the letter X is
like
there.
X, like I know, but X also is like whenever, you know, you think of it as like extreme Mountain Dew.
Sure.
The Mountain Dew generation.
Yeah. X Games.
X Games.
That's true. Yeah. That might have just been by happenstance, though. I don't know.
X is a spot.
Pirates. They could have been pirates.
Yes, I mean pirates. What's more extreme?
Yeah. I don't think they did generations though before. Truly.
Yeah.
And baby boomers is. Oh yeah, sorry.
Well, no, I just think it'd be funny in like the 1600s to be like, "Oh, you're part of generation."
Yes, sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I was gonna say the baby boomer thing is just because
Gen F's. We Gen Z are the Gen G are the future. and then the Salem witch trials happened.
Yeah. I know. Baby boomer, I was just gonna say, it's just because literally because so many babies were made like right after World War II. And so then they're like, oh, let's call these baby boomers basically. But that even that is like, I think that's literally just for that period right after World War II, like 45 to like whatever, 48.
Yeah.
Or something. And then like they extend that to a bunch of people.
It's not the 1950s?
No, they do now. But like that isn't like literally what a baby boomer was, though. The idea of like after the world, you don't get like a 10-15 year period to be like, wow, the war's over. Let's keep making babies or something.
Yeah, but wasn't the baby boom based on like the fact like the GI Bill and things like that? So
I guess maybe that's part of
it. Yeah. Suburbs having kids and stuff like that. So I feel like it lasted through the 50s, and a lot of that was based on, this perceived rise in the standard of living rather than people fucking because they got home from war. But I mean, that's part of it for sure. But I think also it was like a raise in the standard of living. With things like a lot of social welfare.
Okay, boomer.
Okay, sounds like you like this period, Charlie, when we're still 25 years away from a woman being able to get a credit card.
Yeah.
Hey.
You blew my mind with that set. I honestly had never heard that before.
And
I know there's a lot of fucked up stuff in this country, so it doesn't surprise me in that sense, but I'm still like, I can't believe it's that crazy late.
A few years before we're born.
Yeah. I would say that was so crazy to learn that we might not even talk about the episode.
I know.
You blew my mind.
Honestly, oh my God. So Francesca was just like chilling for like 370 years without she could get a credit card to move into this apartment.
Now I feel like we were too hard on her earlier. Get your shit together. It's like she had a lot of work.
It's like, what? I feel bad for her. That sucks.
Yeah, me too.
Wow. It sounded wrong in my brain and it wasn't.
Yeah, congrats. Yeah, great job.
Thank you. I wish I was wrong. I wish it was from the dawn of time. Okay, so now we're at Mitch's house. Mitch is going to take a shower. Ryan discovers blood on her wrist and all over her clothes. I was really wondering,
what happened? And it's not clear because they made it seem like, did she commit a crime? Was she slashed herself? Because she's like looking at her arm, like, oh no, where'd all this blood come from? But I don't know. Yeah.
So then, we do find out kind of later why she has the reaction that she has, because the blood has not coagulated. And so it must be fresh, but then it turns out it's not fresh.
So the idea is maybe she like hugged the dead jogger or something like that, or picked him up, or, you know, whatever. She got blood on herself from him and somehow did not notice this like running blood until now.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say that's impossible.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah.
And I would think it would be like everywhere. It would be on like Mitch's car. It would be on.
You would have to notice it. Yeah.
She was too busy trying to figure out how to say vampire without saying vampire.
Actually, yeah, you're right. Okay, maybe now it makes sense.
So they look at it and basically the blood is 12 hours old, but it has no coagulation. And they say that vampire bats in South America have an enzyme that keeps blood from coagulating. Are we saying that the idea of a vampire is rooted in science? Because none of that's like, it's not really important what the vampire bats do, right? Because like vampire bats are not related to actual vampires.
Oh, yeah.
Say that that guy was attacked by a vampire bat.
Oh, now you're saying like there could be a logical explanation for it?
Yeah, because like if she's able to scientifically be like, well, vampire bats have this enzyme, it would make it more interesting if it'd be like blood shouldn't not coagulate.
Yeah,
because if there's a biological explanation, then that kind of dilutes the idea of the supernatural.
But I think you're right. Like you kind of mentioned, it's like they're making a direct connection between vampires and vampire bats.
Right. It's like, no, they do. Yes, they suck blood, but it's like, that's where like vampires are more derived from vampire bats than vampire bats are derived from vampires.
She never really turned into a bat. She's just sort of would like.
No, she
around.
She commands rats.
Like rats, yeah.
Which is new. She gets rats. Oh, that was my second favorite part of the episode when you saw just someone literally pour a ton of rats.
Yes, you could tell the way they were falling down. I was like, yep, someone just dropped these.
It's
four
also
rats.
Very funny that Rosie's reaction to that is, we're going to die either way. That like seeing those rats, which like it's like, no, you can just brush them aside. Get out of there.
You forgot to mention, by the way, Teague has now entered for briefly in this moment.
Oh, yeah.
Teague enters.
And so Ryan's explaining to him like her theories about like this is a vampire that they're dealing with, basically. And he looks at the blood and he kind of is like, OK, yeah, I agree.
And
this
then
blood's...
he leaves.
And he leaves right away. Kind of like Riff. Even more abruptly than him, I would say.
He says, nope.
No,
yeah, and he's like, I thought you were interested, and he said, I am, and then he walks out.
That was so strange. I was like, he says no, I don't want to go, but I thought you were interested. I am. No explanation. He's gone.
It's like a Nick Fury type character where it's like,
it is strange. Yeah,
it's like all observational where it's like I'm reporting back.
This better pay off. So
it's like a Pokédex of monsters, you know, like it's like he's like, you know, just going back and cataloging.
Yeah.
We got your vampires. We got your amoebas. We got your.
Steven, just so you know, very briefly, this character Teague, basically every episode is like very much a mystery man. He's like very much into paranormal stuff. Sometimes he helps him out on cases. Oftentimes he says, can you investigate this for me? But we still don't know that much about him. It better pay off. If it doesn't pay off, I'm going to be furious.
Yeah. There has to just be one episode.
Yeah,
it sucks that this generation of television didn't get the cool like, and now we're just gonna follow this guy around for for an episode, you know? Like,
I know,
he'd be perfect. Yeah,
I would love. Yeah. Oh yeah, like when you do one episode that's just all character development for a side character. Yeah, that would be great. I would love to see
the Teague episode.
A day in Teague's life, and I would love to know that he's like. Got a sick mom at home that he's like, he's like got to take care of, like his marriage is on the rocks. He's like, you know, like just like we really get,
he works at Mr. Beef.
Yes. He feeds the pigeons.
What if he's just like sort of a fraud? Like he lives at home with his mom. His mom's fine. Yeah. He doesn't have a job. He just like he wants to feel important. So he comes to them all the time with like, I know a lot about this stuff. I want you to investigate. But he has no connection to anything. Yeah.
That's actually that'd be kind of funny reveal, actually. Yeah, that'd be a really funny reveal. Is that he's just like a weirdo. Just a
lonely weirdo. Yeah.
Who likes the supernatural and lives with
So like in this instance he's like no, and he's like yeah I am into this stuff, and then he just leaves. It's because he wanted to go home.
Yeah,
he had like a sandwich he wanted to eat or something.
Mom's dialysis machine is going off and he has a page. He's like, I thought you were interested in this stuff. I am
nah.
Mom's the only person who loves me. So then,
this was a long shower by Mitch too. I appreciate
long shower.
Yeah.
And then Mitch comes down. And he's like, "You guys hanging out in the dark again?" And then this is when we get the reveal of the teeth possibly being involved in slashing someone's chest open. And they say the police have a woman in custody, and so she's not in custody or wasn't.
Francesca?
She is.
I mean,
they brought her downtown.
The
detective like tricked her into everything, though.
Yes, yeah,
that's what it seems like. He's like, "Hey, can I use your phone to find out some evidence on you?" And he's like, "Just come down to downtown with me." And then they put her in a holding cell.
Yeah, but it's like weird to arrest her because
it's flimsy evidence at this point.
It's very flimsy. I mean,
someone saw you outside.
So much going on that's like, you know, just especially what's going on at this police station.
Yeah.
So. Mitch and Ryan go down to the police station, and this is when we learn that this police station is being moved to Van Nuys.
Amazing.
We get a lot of information from this man carrying a moving box out the door who says, "You guys can't go in there. This place is closing."
But sorry, real quick. Because this moment did remind me of, you remember that thing like when in like improv class, we probably all were taught at some point. It's like, why, if you're like, especially if you're doing a monosyllable, it's like, why is this day important? You know, give it stakes, so to speak. And that's what it feels like is this thing is, but it's like, there's already a vampire. You don't need this like extra thing of like, we're closing down the police station today.
Yeah.
It's like hat on a hat in a bit. Don't get me wrong. I appreciate it. It's like insane, but it's really interesting.
You also like there is a moving truck out there, but it makes it seem like all the police officers have to move everything themselves, like one box at a time.
And it's funny too, because the demolition crew is like, "Nope, we got hired to do this job today." So they're hardly waiting for anyone to get out there. Like we got to start cementing up these doors.
Yeah.
Sealing everything in. Why are they sealing everything in? I don't know.
Operating police station.
Yes. Why are you sealing stuff up today?
And they still have people in holding cells.
It's so strange.
They're like, "We got a skeleton crew in there because the mucky mucks downtown."
Why is it their fault? Because that to me, it sounds like they waited too long themselves to like move out.
Yeah.
It's like, it seems like they had a month to get their shit together.
They procrastinated.
And then they're like, "Ah, crap, we gotta get to Van Nuys."
We also get this weird thing later on. It's mentioned here, but it's brought back that they said the phones are dead. People can call in, but nobody can call out. I was like, then the phones aren't dead.
Yes, that made no sense. I was like, why? What? Yeah, they're not dead for one. Two, I was like, why would you just have the one option? People could call us, but we're not allowed to make any calls. That's not a thing. You're not like, "Hey, we'd like to turn off half of our phone service. You know, we're going to be gone at the end of the day, so we'd like to save that little extra money."
Yeah.
I feel like
it's so wild.
This building needs its own sort of like side character episode where it's like the building has its own. You find
absolutely.
Out.
I guess they probably were trying to solve the idea of like, I guess people still need to be able to call the police.
I know. I loved it in a way, but it was one of those things.
It's
writing
very
wise,
funny
I was like,
"To have a phones, if there's a better answer works out one there. Way, it works both ways."
Yeah. Exactly. I think there's a better answer to every problem that came to when writing this script, but it's very funny though.
So then Ryan has to go to the bathroom because she's been having too much ginseng.
Yeah, ginseng and vitamins.
And vitamins. It's making her pee all the time. So she goes in to go to the bathroom, and then Mitch is crept up on by Francesca.
Yeah.
And she is coming on to him strong. She says that he's very interesting, and she's really into him. And then he's like, hey, you can't leave that way. You got to go the other way. And she kind of floats away and then mouths, thank you.
Yes, I did like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that was the vampire whisper or night whisper or whatever.
Yeah, that was the night whisper. And then, because at the beginning of the episode, what was also weird, I guess that was like the echolocation, is the fact that like she's able to hear Ryan and Griff's conversation perfectly, but that never comes back.
Mm, yeah.
Because like that was a little interesting to me too, because, yeah, but yeah. I guess that's like the bat thing.
Yeah, she is. Yeah, it's like a bat thing, yeah.
So then
she does kind of fly like a bat, though. She doesn't turn into a bat. It's more like she's like still human form, then she's kind of flying.
She flies like Dracula. Yeah, she's got and then she disappears, and then Mitch doesn't tell Ryan what he saw. And then we get the detective telling the prostitutes that they got to show up in court, and then they're like, can we have sex with you?
Yeah, one of them kind of accepts it. He says, be nice to the judge, right? And then it's like, okay. And the other one's like, hey, can I babysit for you?
Babysit. And he's like, I don't have kids. And she's like, who said anything about kids? And I'm like, well, then what the fuck?
I don't, yeah.
I don't quite get the analogy.
I don't tell either. Know, it's like I think almost it's a there, but TV not quite. Thing,
or I'm like, yeah, yeah. Hey, we get the implication here.
But the woman that says that is Rosie. And wow, she's a star.
Rosie, Rosie, all personality. Chantal, no personality.
Chantal.
Yeah. She's doing the, Rosie's doing the heavy lifting.
Yeah, Rosie's doing all the heavy lifting. So then the attorney shows up and he's like,
Pantalone.
Hey, you don't talk to my clients. We got to get out of here. Hey, why don't you shut up? And he's both angry at the women. He's also angry at the detective. He's honestly angry at every single person in this entire episode.
You know what's funny, by the way? His name is Pantalone. It's like Pantalones.
Pants.
Which is pants in Spanish.
Yeah.
But no S, so I guess it's just one single pant. He's like, his name is like Pant Leg, essentially.
Well, and then there's, because there's Joe Pantaleone, who the actor, who from The Matrix and stuff like that. But but the Pantalone just gives me, it's Joey Pants.
Joey Pants.
And yeah, he doesn't want them to sign these forms. Oh, sorry, we can see.
He really doesn't want them signing forms.
Isn't that though, like a Commedia dell'arte name, Pantalone?
Oh, could be.
Is it? Maybe not. Maybe it's just. Maybe it's.
I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know. You're the Commedia dell'arte expert here.
That's what I know. It is. A Commedia dell'arte character.
Interesting. Maybe that's where they got the name from.
I think I'd hire him as my attorney just because he's such a riot, just so angry at everybody.
Yes. He's definitely that style of attorney that's like, okay, this guy's annoying, so it's almost like people be like, all right, let's just get this.
Yeah.
Would his billboard be? You know, what was his LA billboard say, you think?
We'll sue the pants off of them.
Yeah, you're right.
We'll sue the pantalone.
The pantalone off of them. So then
put on your big boy pants with Joe Pantalone.
Mitch and Ryan approach, and he says, lifeguard, how's the water? Because we're drowning here. And then Ryan wants to talk to the woman again, cannot explain why she wants to. And then the detective just goes like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, that was a weird scene. That's very long, where he's like, come on, just tell me why you want to talk to her. And she doesn't for 2 minutes.
He goes, well, I can't, couldn't hurt. And...
By the way, you just mentioned
screaming at Doretha.
Oh yeah, Doretha, poor Doretha. She is inept though, like I mentioned earlier. But he is just so angry at her when she enters with this box. He's like, "What is this?"
Yeah, oh, he's so mad about the box. I'm like, that looks like a box.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You just mentioned something a moment ago, Charlie. Made me realize when Mitch enters with Ryan, he's like, "Hey, lifeguard, I'm drowning here." How does he know Mitch is a lifeguard? He's never met this man in his life.
I think we're supposed to.
Just assume that Mitch knows everyone.
Mitch knows him because Mitch knows cops.
Okay.
Yeah, but I think so. That's like, it's supposed to be like, hey, we know each. So this guy that he's known for a while, dies today.
He's okay. Yeah, it's not a big deal for him.
Nature's friend died today. Okay. So so then the phone is dead. Oh yeah, here's what we get. They go to approach Bert.
Or Bart, I think.
Is it Bart?
Yeah. By the way, I had closed captioning on, and when they're approaching him, they're like, Bart, where's the client? Or something like that is what they say. But the closed captioning said, Fart was your client.
Oh, it's a fart.
It's a fart, yeah.
That's a funny, is that funny closed captioning where they do funny?
It's not, it's funny just stuff. The regular, but it's like automated, so it just gets shit wrong all the time.
There was actually a part in this episode that I had a really hard time telling what was said. And okay. It's early in the episode when the detective is going to use Francesca's phone.
Yeah.
And as he picks it up, she says something like, there are important things to do every day or something like that. It's a very strange line that doesn't
make sense. Right? Yeah. I didn't write it down.
Either she just like mealy mouthed it, or because it probably was her being like, maybe I didn't have anything to do. I didn't have anything important to do today anyway. But it just like the way it came out was very confusing.
Or is it an Easter egg for another?
Yes,
another episode.
I think so.
I kind of wish that at the end of this episode there was a reveal that Mitch was turning into a vampire, and then he's just a vampire for the rest of the
day. Would love it. Yeah. Nights will truly never be the same. So now Mitch is a vampire.
Yeah. Bart is dead. And then. This is where we find out that the phone is dead and they can get calls in, but not out. And the detective is like, he's screaming at Ryan. He's like, I don't have time for this. Get her out of here. Yeah.
She's trying to tell him this is a vampire dealing with it, and he's just pissed.
He's so mad.
Ready to kill whoever killed his partner, or I don't know, just his colleague.
This is like with the hectic, with everyone just trying to get out of the office. Right? The office comes like, it's like, we got to get out of here. Yes. We're going this way. You're
what
going
a day, right?
Like, yeah.
This place is closing down. And you're telling me there's a vampire here now?
Yeah.
It's a way. I did feel in this episode that they were trying something with trying to escalate tension, mm-hmm. by kind of having everyone talk over each other, talk all at once, mm-hmm. and then like really rush through their lines. Like you see in certain things where they're like, we want this to feel as natural as possible. Where usually Baywatch's pace with dialogue is usually very deliberate. It's like one character speaks, another one speaks. But this definitely felt like there was some instructions given by the director to kind of really like amp it up. Cause there were times when it was like, I was like ping ponging back and forth between all the different characters talking. And
would you say, this influence Aaron Sorkin's West Wing?
Yes.
Mm. Yes, it did. Okay.
Yeah, that's why he also came out with West Wing Nights.
This is part of a Dogma 95 as well.
When did West Wing start? Was it early 2000s?
Late 90s, right? Late 99.
So it might. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, it could be. So then... the detective goes to find Bart, and he's dead. There's fog everywhere now. Mm-hmm. I guess she brings in fog with her.
real quick before that, because I have this in my notes, I forgot. There's a moment when he leaves, and I think, so Ryan had just mentioned, like, there's a vampire. And then Rosie reacts to that.
Oh, yeah.
And she says, like, vampire, like a big, strong, handsome guy. And then... so then Ryan or someone says like, no, she's a woman, and mentions that Francesca's a woman. And then Rosie says, a woman? I didn't know a woman could do this kind of stuff. It's like, well, Rosie.
Not until 1974.
I guess not.
So then this is finally the reveal of Mitch saying that he had seen Francesca, saw her in the hallway while Ryan was in the bathroom. Then the detective checks Bart. His vein has been severed. But where's all his blood? Uh-oh, Francesca's there, and she gets him.
She does. By the way, I had a thought at this moment, because this is the second person we've heard has, like, where's all his blood? She should have looked bloated, right?
Right.
Yeah, she should absolutely look bloated because that's so much blood.
Yeah, she should be like, oh,
I just had, oh, I just had me. Yeah.
So full, but I can't stop.
Four by four with fries and a shake. Oh,
why did I need to finish that? She's finishing like, these meals in a moment. Yeah, like, wow.
She'd just be like peeing blood too. Right? Yeah. Like,
I guess. I don't know.
Like everything in your body's blood.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It'd just be, yeah. She's, I mean, hey.
Or do they pee? Do they pee?
I don't know. Vampires. I don't know how that works.
Yeah.
They never figured that out.
I mean, like, I wonder what. I was just saying, vampire bats, what do they do? Do they pee?
They do.
Yeah. Okay, there you go. Sure, okay. There's your answer.
There's your answer.
Yeah. But I mean, like in vampire lore, so many things like involving like monsters and things like that, they kind of don't go into like the biological functions. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, yeah. How does it work?
How do
Once
they
again,
how do they poop? Yeah.
We need this stuff. We need, how does a vampire poop?
Yeah, we could add this to like the technology. We're updating vampires to technology and how do they urinate?
Yeah.
They should have, like, their shit's, the
24.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about this. They should have had like a half an hour period in one of the episodes where Kiefer Sutherland's on the toilet on his phone.
Absolutely. At least once.
Right?
At least.
So like, yeah, he's like,
not multiple times. Who knows?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, you would think maybe you're not thinking about it as much, but at a certain point, you'd be like, I can't hold it anymore. Yeah.
Okay. So I think Kiefer is almost certainly constipated then, right?
Yes.
And he's holding his piss for way too long.
Or is he wearing a diaper?
It's unhealthy. Oh, he might be wearing a diaper.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, seeing him on the toilet would be great. Cause, and then you just, doom. That'd be a really rushed. Like, you're like, oh, I gotta get wiping.
Yeah.
He's like, I can't believe I wasted a whole hour of my day just on the toilet.
Mr. President, I promise I'm on my way. Well,
one episode is just him on the toilet. He's like, I don't, it just keeps coming.
I'm sorry. I'm in a cavern.
You got me.
I'm hiding from the terrorists.
I was gonna say earlier, this is gross, but the vampire shit, I think based on this episode, would just be liquid.
Yeah.
Because this blood is not coagulating.
No solids.
Yeah.
It's no solids.
A little bit of champagne, a lot of bit of blood.
Oh, that's true. Champagne.
We know she drinks champagne.
That's where,
But in normal vampire stuff, like I never drink wine. And champagne is sparkling wine.
That's true. She's not like Dracula.
No. So then, after Detective is killed, Mitch heads back up there and she's really going to town on him. And then she hits Mitch with her cape.
Kind of like smacks him sort of,
hits
or something.
Him and he's impacted.
He falls back. Yeah.
Yeah. So then,
when he walked up, he said the gentlest, hey, by the way, did you guys notice that? He's like, hey,
hey.
Then like, okay. So then he runs and then he does this thing. What was it? Did he pull himself up?
It made no sense.
It made no sense.
It's like, this is a little confusing.
Did he fly under him? Is that what's supposed to
The idea is that he hid from her, right? But what they used is like this, like chain link fence that has like what would be like a door, like an opening that's the size of a door in it. But the like going up to the ceiling, everything else is chain link fence. He reaches up towards the top of the chain link fence, turns himself upside down. And the idea is that he hit himself as she passed by and didn't see him. But it's not a wall. It's a chain link fence. So it's see-through. So it's literally, I think they're like, how about right there? Let's just have him hide there. But it doesn't make any.
She's also not stupid.
Yeah, it's so dumb.
Yeah, but she's 460 years old.
Yeah, she's that's, you tell me nobody's ever hid from her before. So then he runs the other way and then he falls down the stairs. Mm-hmm. And that really does it for her.
Yeah, she's smitten now.
She after he falls down the stairs, she stands at the top and goes like, "You continue to impress me."
Nothing like seeing a guy fall down 15 flights of stairs.
Yeah. You know? Boy, that's hot.
Oh, mama.
Hilarious then when he's like, I don't remember exactly what he says, but he's like, what do you want? Or like, what is your deal? Like, what's your deal? Clearly, she's a vampire, Mitch. But then she says something like,
I've been trying to figure that out for the last,
she's been soul searching basically for the last 400 years. And this is her moment.
A man that she thinks is hot enough to be with, and it's
that's Mitch. That's sad. What a real dearth of quality men out there for the last 400 yeah. years.
He's not.
It's not till Mitch.
He's not.
He's yeah. Like, wow. Yeah.
So she wants him to essentially be her like vampire king.
I guess. Yeah. She wants. She's gonna turn him into vampire, right? That's the
right.
idea.
That's the
and
idea.
They're gonna rule so, together.
And they're gonna rule.
They're gonna get. Together. They're gonna get an apartment that's yes. slightly bigger than the one she's mm-hmm, in right now.
Mm-hmm. It's gonna be
a two bedroom.
Two bedroom. Yep.
Two bedroom on that when you're on Wilshire Boulevard yeah. between Westwood
yes.
and Beverly
yeah. Hills. Yes, exactly. Those really yeah. tall high rise and uh-huh. and tandem parking space. Oh.
We will rule
the
together.
Dream, the dream. Maybe someday we'll get side by side parking spaces, but for now you will have that, to yes. move anytime I want to leave.
I want you to move your car.
I want you to.
I want.
So then but, she blows him a kiss, and then she.
Yeah, I love that yeah. she blew him a kiss. That was
yeah.
sweet.
Yeah.
By the way, earlier when Mitch, like way earlier in the episode, when like Ryan was like, "Hey, Mitch, is, I think it's like a vampire we're dealing with," and he does like his Dracula. Mm-hmm. He's like, "I want to suck your blood," oh, and then yeah. I just had this like random thought. I was like. Man, Dracula would be so much more popular if he was into giving blowjobs other than taking
blowjobs. I want to suck your cock.
Yeah. And then everyone would be like, Dracula's not. I mean, he's a little yeah. pushy. He says he brings it up all the time, but I don't. Yeah. I'm not afraid of him like I was before.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, Dracula, are you up?
I'm always up for you.
Yeah. The Cumpire.
Sorry, I apologize, but sorry, it was a random thought I had in my head. Yeah. I don't know.
No, it's great.
Yeah.
So then, Ryan and the gang argue about which way to go, and then Rosie says, "Hey, if you want to stay here, or no, I think it's actually Chantal says."
Oh yeah, they both say. I think
Chantal
I wrote
says,
of it.
"If you want to stay here and swap spit with a vampire, that's your turn on." And that was in the moment where I was like, "Oh, Chantal does not have it."
Yes.
Yeah. Whereas Rosie, oh, yeah. Rosie has it. Rosie's a star.
Rosie's a star. Yeah. Chantal. Rosie before that. Yeah. She's not the best with these line deliveries. Rosie had said, "Chantal, me and have to get our pretty little butts." Out
oh yeah,
here,
or her pretty
like
little butts out of here. And then, oh. But yeah, Chantal says, "If you want to stay here and swap spit with a vampire, that's your turn on."
Yeah. Oh, and right then, before then, it was Steven's favorite line, and all of ours. We really loved it when I can't get the name right, but Dorothy.
Doretha
is like, I work here and I have no idea what how to do anything.
Yeah.
How to get out of here.
Yeah.
Yeah. I actually think I typed it down verbatim. It was, it's like, "Hell, I work here and I don't even know where," and in regards to where to go.
Where, yeah. Where the exit is, where to go. Yeah.
Yeah.
It is funny.
To
they
be
split
fair,
up.
The exit is different today than on most other days.
That's yeah. true. This is yeah. very confusing. This place is massive, and for some
it
reason, they've
weird.
Left one exit that is yeah. hard to find.
Yeah. Justice yeah. for Doretha.
Because these demo guys got to cement this place.
They're kind of they're gonna start knocking it down with people still inside. This is,
why would they? That's the thing though. Why would they cement it up before they knock it down?
This is like, and like, one of the cops comes in and he's like, "Hey guys, if we all get together and throw the best talent show, we can save yeah. the police station."
Yeah, we don't have to move to Van Nuys.
Yeah. They think they're gonna tear this place down.
Like, that's what's so strange. So it seems like they're gonna tear it down, but they're cementing the place up, boarding it up. But that sounds like a place that's condemned. And like,
right.
like we just need to keep no one can go in here for a little while or something. Yeah.
I would love to have heard all of the meetings surrounding mm-hmm. how they were doing this.
Yeah, especially this episode. I just in these scenes, I just like what? Okay.
Yeah.
But by the way, it's funny. So, Chantal and Rosie go one direction, and then Pantalone and everyone else go the other direction, and like Pantalone like defends them. Like Ryan kind of complains about them going on. Or no, when Mitch gets back, he's like, "Hey, you let them leave on their own." He's like, "Hey, well, they've been following you around everywhere and you don't got a clue what you're doing." To yeah. Mitch, who yeah. doesn't work there. I was like, what the heck, man?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's Pantalone. Yeah. It's like he
doesn't help. Ever.
He's mean to them, but they're his girls, so you know he's gonna defend them.
He's mean to everybody.
He's, yes. Pantalone is a lot. So then the girls head to get out, and they don't know where to go. Chantal is a little concerned that Rosie doesn't have her bearings, and then Francesca appears, and they need to run. They run away, and then Mitch says he might believe that there's vampires now.
Finally.
Later in the episode, he re-says he doesn't believe it.
I know.
And he's like, how do you kill a vampire? But right now, he might believe it. The lawyer and Pantalone and Doretha are mad, but Mitch says he's going to go find the girls. The girls end up in a freight elevator.
Yeah.
And Francesca gets in, and Chantal succumbs to the vampire's kiss.
Yes, excellent choice from an acting perspective. And that was the correct choice, Francesca.
It could have been in the script that Chantal lives, and then they saw Rosie, and they're like, you know what? Let's keep her around.
We'll flip this.
I do. It is kind of funny to me because Rosie, like, especially in that particular situation, Francesca just had to pick one of them, and so then Rosie just is like, all right, well, I guess I'll leave. Like,
well, she knows she waits and
she watches the whole thing, watches it all happen.
But she's still there when Mitch finally gets there.
That's true. It's back in the freight elevator. Yeah. Okay. So he gets Rosie, and
she says a hilarious line. I wrote it down if you didn't. I don't know if you guys caught it.
That when bitch gets with the overbite did her right in front of me.
Yes.
I was like, oh my God. Hilarious. Also, I'm like, it's not really an overbite, but sure, that's so funny.
That bitch she has with fangs, the overbite but it's like did her right in front of me. Sucked her up and sucked her dry. That's what she said.
Yeah. This is like her fourth person today.
Yeah.
It's insane.
And then what's very funny is basically Francesca tells Rosie, I only want Mitch. If Mitch agrees to be with me, then the rest of you get to live.
Yeah.
If not, you all die.
Yeah. It's also funny the idea she lets her live just to convey that message. A message that part of it, Mitch already knows that she's kind of smitten by her, but it's like that moment where it's like you go back to your whatever, your crew, you tell them this is what's going to happen. I killed everyone
that's
else.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah. Spread the word.
I'm only letting you live so you can go back and tell that piece of shit.
This is from a love perspective. You tell that amazing,
tell
wonderful
him
man.
I love him.
I love him.
Can you give him this note? Do you love me? Yes, no, maybe.
Yes.
Again, I think it's also the acting talent of Rosie. She probably was supposed to die with Chantel.
Oh,
and then
they're
like, you know what? Let's keep her around.
Yeah.
She's really good.
This girl's got something.
She's going. Yeah.
Yeah.
So then Mitch says he's going to go talk to her, but then they hear water, and that means there's got to be a tunnel. So then
I was like, that doesn't mean that, but sure.
Yeah.
Like there's pipes in the wall.
When you hear water,
a lot of places that water come from. Yeah. Sometimes I hear water in my apartment and I go like, oh, toilet's running. Gotta go jiggle the handle. Like,
sure. Or it's a tunnel.
Yeah. Well, that's what it was. Heard a lot of water this past week with all the rain. It's like, oh, there's a lot of tunnels in Los Angeles.
Yeah. Tunnels, exactly. Yeah.
So many tunnels.
Tunnels. Well, we found out that there were some tunnels in New York City.
The subway. You're talking about a subway or?
No, remember like a couple weeks ago that there was like they found that like a Hasidic community had dug tunnels between their like yeshivas.
Oh wow.
I've never heard the story.
Yes. So in order to get to the yeshivas during COVID when they were shut down, they dug tunnels under illegally.
Wow. Yeah.
And so somebody was like standing and so there's all these tweets that people have found of people from the last couple of years who live in Brooklyn being like I hear Hebrew music coming from below my floor and I'm going crazy. Like I don't understand it, but I'm hearing this stuff. And then like a month ago, somebody was standing on the street And then this like manhole pops open and an Orthodox a Jewish man pops out of there. And then they're like, oh, yeah,
wow.
There are tunnels. Yeah.
Wow. That's crazy.
I had no idea.
No idea.
Yeah, look it up. Look up the tunnels.
No, I don't believe you. You were wrong on the credit card thing, and I'm not going to. No,
yeah. but that's fascinating, right? Like, so, yeah.
Yeah. Like, before you dig, you got to call. That's what I know.
That's right, what guys? I said. Before you dig, call. Yeah.
Call whatever that number is. Yeah.
They open a vent, and a ton of rats come out.
And as Steven mentioned earlier, it is definitely there's someone on the other side that just dropped some rat stuff.
Cue the rats!
Get the rat wrangler!
Yeah. Literally, they're like probably in a bucket. And
slide down.
They yelled cut, and the guy goes back in and picks them up one at a time and puts them back in the bucket.
Yeah.
So then the vampire calls for Mitch, and he says, not that I'm buying into this, but how do you kill one of these? And then they say it's sunlight, a stake through the heart, and holy water.
There's a moment where, once again, I for some reason, I can't remember her name, but the cop, she says, a silver bullet? And Rose is like, no, it's werewolves. It's like they really wanted to hammer home, like, she knows nothing about
anything.
She
knows nothing about anything, and then so Mitch is like, I'm going to go distract her. So then, in this scene.
Yeah.
Do you think Mitch was like, there's no harm if I get a little kiss?
I think so.
Because it doesn't seem important at all. Like, nothing.
He could have walked over to him and been like, hey, follow me.
Yes, yeah. I thought have a stake or something and then stab her. But instead, he like really goes to town with her for a little bit.
Yeah.
And she's like erotic, way too close to his neck, which I think is, you know, where the nicking comes from the end. But then. Then he like grabs her by the hair and I like how Rosie in the scene is like, what the hell is he doing? she's gonna get him.
Oh, Rosie's amazing.
And Ryan is like really upset. She's
like, a little jealous. Yeah. She's like,
Mitch. Kiss her.
Don't make it.
But then Ryan snaps out of it and goes, he's distracting her.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
Go ahead.
Well, I just said, it does seem like he was like, you know what I never made out with before? A vampire.
Yeah. He's like,
yeah. My chance. Gotta do it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Then he's like, back off, Batwoman. Oh, yeah. Her hair back.
That's a bad one. Right before that, when he approaches her, he's like, he says, tell me what the girl said is true. Meaning Rosie, what?
Oh, yeah.
She says, what did she say?
Yeah.
And then Mitch says, that you want me. And then she says, I do.
Yeah. It's very funny. It's like, well, I said a few things.
Several things. Yeah.
Yeah. What did she say I said?
Back off, Batwoman. And then he runs for the door and she chases after. Oh, there's I don't like it how shaky they always make it. To take away, I guess, you know, it's like very shaky camera, but it is a cool visual of him running and her like in the air flying after him to get him.
Yeah.
And she almost gets Mitch, but then they throw her against a stake.
Yeah, they close the door on her and there's stakes on the door.
And there's stakes on the door. And then she is so betrayed. She looks just like, Mitch!
I know, I felt a little heartbroken for her.
No!
Mitch!
No!
She's so sad. So he heartbroken.
Falls and dies, and then she turns like into a negative.
I don't know. Yeah, but also the rats come to tend to her or something.
Come,
I was like, is she going to turn into rats?
She like posturizes or whatever you call it in video editing, where you invert all the colors. I thought she was just going to like disappear, but instead she like glows.
Yeah. It's also funny to think the rat guy again sort of is just dumping rats.
Yeah. All right,
lying down like over here. All right. Yeah,
don't let these really gentle rats.
Because and now that the crisis has been averted, I really would love to know like what happens next. Like, are they like, all right, well, let's just knock the building down because the demolition crew is going to be there. So you knock it down with her in there. Or is everyone like, hey, what was going on? We've got two dead detectives.
Yeah, I know, they're not going to get that body, I guess.
Prostitute.
We can't find the exit / entrance.
Gotta keep the building open because it's a crime scene now.
You would say, right?
Yeah.
But are they just like, no, we're at Van Nuys today.
Yeah, those mugs downtown.
Monkey mugs.
Those monkey mugs. Hey, what are you going to do? You're going to have a vampire every once in a while, okay?
Yeah, do you think she died? Is that the idea, I guess?
She's got to be dead, yeah.
Right? But well, like you said, why doesn't she just disappear or something?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I know, she should have like turned into dust or something.
Yeah.
Because that's usually like...
And the rats run away.
Yeah. You would think she would... Because I feel like that's what happens in Dracula when they like kill a vampire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they turn to like dust or something, I think, a lot of times.
I'm thinking of the movie The Mummy.
I just feel bad for Francesca. I feel bad. 400 years.
Yeah.
She falls for the Mitch. And then he's the one who she's been waiting for.
I feel bad for her, but at the same time, I was like, you just met this guy. I'm like, come on, slow down. Get to know a person before you fall.
Also, like, heels for them. Mitch?
Yeah.
Yeah. Come on, right? She met like three other guys in the last 400 years?
I mean, we could believe that she's like a relatively low status vampire because like she's been around for a long time, but she hasn't exactly come up in the world.
No. She's like, I finally can afford a bottle of champagne.
Yes, exactly. A jug of champagne.
Or a jug, yeah.
My favorite jug.
I really did feel bad for her.
I did.
Up to her. She seemed so heartbroken when she's like, bitch.
Yeah.
And I was like, I feel bad for her now.
So upset. Dang. So then back at the office, Mitch heads in and sits down to look at his mail.
He totally comes in with the, man, what a day. Another vampire.
And he feels weird because the lights are too bright.
Yeah.
And he says, she always leaves these on. Turns it off. Then he's like, I got to lay down. So he goes over to the couch, lays down. And then Ryan comes in and asks how he's feeling. And he says he's sore. And then he said he can't stop thinking about Francesca. And Ryan's not happy about it. She's like, yeah, it's power, sexual fantasy. That's what kept it alive, the mythos alive for all these centuries. Yeah.
And now she's saying the mythos.
I know.
And it's like, guys, you just met a vampire. There's
she's
no doubt here.
That's all.
She is. She's trying to pretend it wasn't a thing. She wasn't that special.
She was.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah, I guess if you like that kind of thing.
Yeah. But yeah, power. Whatever. Yeah. I saw there's like. So, you know, who's really cool are people who can't describe vampires.
Yeah. You know the type. Yeah. Takes a long time. Didn't mention that there was a mirror and they couldn't see the vampire.
Who also can't run.
Yeah.
gets winded.
Have to piss a lot every day.
Yeah. I got
to
pee.
All the ginseng. You know the type.
Load it up with ginseng. So then Mitch wonders if Francesca nicked him in the neck. She checks his neck and then he grabs her and reveals fake vampire teeth.
Yeah, says I want to suck your blood.
Yeah, and I thought they were gonna
they're gonna get down right then. Yeah, it does seem like it.
It was a pretty intimate thing.
Yes,
for coworkers.
It is a thing that if you did it to someone who you did not have that kind of relationship with, you would be visiting HR. Like,
absolutely.
Not an appropriate joke.
No.
And then she's like, Mitch, that's not funny. He's like, come on, these cost me $2. And then they laugh, and that is the end of the episode.
Thinking about it, it would have made way more sense to write that scene. Ryan is already in the office.
Yes.
Mitch enters and is like, pretending. And does everything. Yeah. But it is funny that
he's there by himself. Before.
That's, yeah.
It makes me think
he might be a vampire. Yeah, I agree.
We'll see. Maybe season's end.
He didn't lose his sense of humor.
Can vampires swim? Can he still be a lifeguard?
I would think that vampires can swim.
Okay,
is he still a lifeguard in Nights, or is he detective now or something?
And this season they do. Actually, this is maybe the one episode this season so far that they didn't have him be a lifeguard.
As a lifeguard, but they mention lifeguards.
They usually have a scene that he does. Yeah, that's true.
Mm.
So he is still a lifeguard by day, and then whatever this is, supernatural detective by night. Yeah.
It's also like, was this a Survive the Night episode, or were they just in that boarded up police station, so it was daytime the whole time?
I guess... That's a good question. Maybe it's daytime, but you just brought up something. You remind me of something. I forgot to mention this earlier. So Ryan and Griff were jogging at night, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did they stay at the crime scene until the yes. next day?
This happens all the time where you're That's like, so yeah, strange. Cause you would think that if they are jogging at night, they're jogging it. It's also August. So it's not getting really dark until almost 9 PM. So they're going on a run,
a night run. Yeah.
A night run, in a park that apparently is quite dangerous.
Yeah. According to this detective.
Yeah. But yeah, I think they just stayed there all night but
the detectives and all the other police crew didn't show up until the next day. They're like, just stay at the crime scene. We'll get there tomorrow. I guess that's the idea, right?
We're busy. Yeah,
we're sleeping.
We're moving police stations right now.
Oh, boy. Could you just watch the body for like 12 hours? And
it
we'll
is funny because they did start like a full on murder investigation.
Yeah.
But, you know, well, anyway, so that was season 2, episode 9, Night Whispers. So now we have awards that we got to give out. We give out awards every episode. So, Steven, you're going to be able to give some awards as well. Ooh, nice. First award is our Hosker. This is our award for best actor of the episode. I think we've probably mentioned her. Yeah.
Rosie.
Rosie.
Hands down.
Rosie.
There was even
Rosie
a moment.
Took a small part.
Yes.
And made it giant.
Made it giant. Yeah. Yeah. It does feel like a part that was like maybe there's two lines originally.
Yeah.
And they were just to like exposition or something like that. But then she just made everything like her own, made herself this wonderful character and had a lot of funny moments. There was a moment when they're mentioning like what can kill a vampire. And she was like, and someone mentioned holy water. And then she was shocked. And then she did the sign of the cross. And then
one
of like, oh, yeah, I got it.
She was on.
Yeah. That was great.
She showed up prepared. Yeah.
She showed up and she was like, there are no small parts, only small actors. And she crushed it.
I looked on her IMDb. She is someone that has been working constantly ever since then.
Yes.
So, I'm not surprised.
Not surprised at all. Yeah.
We love that for her.
Yeah.
So next is our Jilzy. This is our worst actor of the episode. I am going to go on the other side of the coin and I'm going to say poor Chantal.
Wow. Yeah. It is unfortunate for her. It's like, oh, I just got this small part. I'm playing a prostitute, you know, no big deal. And then she shows up and someone's just crushing it next to her.
Yeah.
Yeah. That felt like, oh, fuck.
Damn. Chantal believed that she was above this role. She didn't want to play this role. So when she came in and then realizing that if you take even an undesirable role and you really make something out of it, that's going to lead to other jobs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We have to look up her IMDb and see.
I don't even know if she had an IMDb picture. Let me look.
Someone didn't have a picture, I think. I don't remember what character that was, though.
I will defer.
No, she did. Elise Mueller. What is she? What do we got going on for her? Chantal. She looks like she has also been working pretty steadily.
Okay.
She works,
there you go. Doesn't matter. You can do a shit job.
Still book. Yeah, she was still booking. She's a lot in 2023.
Oh, wow. She might be wonderful too. I don't mean to shit on her by any means. Just in this episode, this one part wasn't the best. But
you know, people grow. I will change mine though to the guy with the box. That's who I give the guy with the box.
You thought he was the worst?
I thought he was the worst.
This is the guy when they're moving.
Outside the police station. Yes. Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, I have to give him something. Yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing. That guy was something else.
Yeah.
He also, I mean, I do feel like he did, like. He did a lot with what he was given. They probably were like, this guy is like, this is like where Rosie is giving you way more than you could have ever asked for. Mm-hmm. And this guy's giving you too much. And then just tone it down.
Okay? Yeah. We don't need that much. Just tell him they're closing down the police station, moving to Van Nuys. Yeah. It's like, no, I got this.
I got
some words I'm going to use. Monkey Monk. But you never even heard of that. But I'm going to use it.
It's Mucky Muck.
Or Mucky Muck. I don't know. See, I didn't even
Mucky
know.
Muck's a, Mucky Muck's very common, right? That's like, these are the big wigs.
I don't know if it's common, but yeah.
Don't you think Big Mucky the Mucky Mucks? How about you, Steven?
You know, I do use it a lot.
Liar. You know, maybe it was more common back then. I'm just saying, like, I don't remember the last time I've ever heard someone say that.
Say that, yeah.
It probably, it feels like many a years.
Oh, it's Muckety muck.
See, he might have been saying the wrong phrase and thinking he had it right.
Yeah.
So it's muckety muck.
But then it's also, so
it sounded like he was saying monkey muck.
Muckety muck is a person of great importance or self-importance. So this is someone who believes that they're,
that sounds like the people downtown.
That does sound like the people downtown.
Yeah.
First used in 1974.
Oh my God. 3 years before fucking, you gotta be kidding me.
3 years before what?
Oh, before women could get their own credit.
No,
or was it 4 years?
Same year.
Oh, wait. Oh, you said 70. I thought you said 71. Sorry, I misheard you.
74. Okay. No, I say, but I also was lying. I just made that up.
No.
it was not first used in 74. The bank account thing and the credit card thing is real, though. Okay. Next.
I looked up, because I thought I looked this up. Monkey monk is, I guess, a phrase too, and it means a superior or important person, whether in fact or through pretension.
Oh.
I think he was saying monkey monk.
Is the exact same thing?
I guess. I don't know.
So maybe it's like a monk
thing. Some people say this, some people say that.
Yeah, because I'm looking at muck-a-muck as well. There's a Bob the Builder episode called Mucky Muck. Anyway.
And Bob's like, those important downtown.
Those self-important. they won't make me build.
I got to go down this police station down in downtown in Santa Monica.
There's still police officers there.
Someone should do a Bob the Builder, an older version where he's just like kind of burnt out.
Votes for Trump.
He's just union guy who's like, I voted for Barack Obama twice and I'm voting for Donald Trump. Broken promises. He's like, guys getting married? No, I don't get it.
He's like, I'd like to speak to the president of the United States of America. I want to offer my services to build a wall on the southern part of our border. I've 40 years in building construction business. What do you mean I can't just call the president?
This is going to be great.
Someone make this movie.
Okay, next is Best Baddie. So we've got Francesca, the vampire.
Is there another one?
I mean, Pantalone, you could argue that Pantalone is kind of a baddie. You could argue that the detective
was
a
bit
baddie.
Of an ass. Yeah, he was.
You could argue that Ryan's a bit of a baddie based on her inability to explain vampire, which might have led to less deaths.
Okay. Also, I can't get her name, but the cop Doretha, for not helping in any
way. And for bringing a subpar box.
And the guy out front. No, the construction workers, the demo people.
Yeah.
For sealing them in there. Their tomb.
I'm going to go with Francesca because baddie.
Yeah.
Baddie.
Yeah.
Real baddie. Yeah.
I'm going to go with her as well.
I'm gonna go with her as well. I think it was fun. It was a fun vampire character. I really would have loved to have known like all of the moves that took her to that apartment.
I mean, she did have a huge terrace.
Yeah, well, that was nice actually. Yeah,
it was the penthouse for sure, right? But it's like. So yes, it's nice, but I just really want to know if it's like she's been living there for a while and then she gets bored and she finally decides it's time to kill again. Like,
yeah, I don't know.
Because the police are onto her immediately.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I just realized too, there's like one witness, we don't meet this witness, but they said they saw her outside that night. So that means they saw her fly, right?
They had to have.
Yeah. And that's like Ryan, like burying the lead. It's like, just we'll tell the cops he saw her fly.
Yeah.
That's more important.
You expect me to believe some lady's out here flying already?
Yeah, he would say that. Detective chorus.
And finally, we rate the episode on a scale of 1 to 6 Hasselhoffs, 1 being the low end, 6 being the high.
I'm going to go 5.5. Love this episode. Very fun.
Yeah, this one gets a high rating from me.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go. Oh yeah, you go.
Go ahead. No, you go.
Yeah. Oh, I was gonna say I'm gonna go six. This one I really enjoyed. Yeah.
You know what? I am going to give this a 5.5 as well. If we had a little higher of a body count, I wanted Pantalone to get it.
He should have. He really should have.
He really should have.
Yeah, they were setting him up to get killed.
Yeah. He would have tried to talk his way out of getting.
Yeah. Killed. Yeah. He was kind of like Ellis in Die Hard, you know, like, hey, you need legal representation? I can help you out. Yeah.
I can represent you. No problem.
Yeah, 400 years old. I bet you got lawsuits you got to take.
I also wish that Francesca had a familiar in this.
Oh, yeah.
like a friend or.
Maybe it was Pantalone.
No, like vampires have familiars who like work for them. So like Renfield and Dracula. It's like, it's like they really were like in What We Do in the Shadows, like where it's like, I really want to be turned into a vampire, please, but I'll go out and find victims for you. That would have been cool.
Yeah.
Maybe because Pantalone. Francesca was like, we don't know anything about her life.
No.
Yeah.
I really wish it was like, she was like a, it would have been cooler if she was like an executive or something. And like, we saw her at work, like Nicolas Cage in Kiss of the Vampire, I guess.
Yeah. How does she pay for this apartment? I don't know. She might've just accumulated a small amount of wealth.
I would think that like you would basically take a little bit of money and then you could afford to just kind of sit on it for a while. Right. And wait for, you know, like, and wait for it to grow in like a high yield.
Yeah. So she did. Yeah. 1600 she took out a
very
bank account.
I know it's very low interest rate
still
though.
Around it's still around.
She's like, not bad, I've made $83 over the last 300 years. That was a smart investment on my part.
I knew where she was from, like where did she become a vampire?
I don't know, you're right, because she does just have like kind of a modern American accent.
Yeah,
it's British, right? She had
is that what it is?
Well, there was talk of her having an accent. It was more like theatrical, but it was like, did she have an accent? Yes,
not really.
It was more like, oh well, sure. Why would I do that? But you're right. It's, it's more theatrical than it's like any kind of regional dialect.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She was great at smirks. Really good
to us. Yeah. Blowing kisses, whispering, "Thank you,
thank you."
If I was Mitch, though, like I would be like it would have been better if he like just like out and out rejected her. And he was just like, "You're not my type. Like, I'm not attracted to you. I'm sorry."
And then he gets back to Ryan and the others, and he's like, "No, I'm just negging her.
Yeah,
don't worry. I'm gonna put her down right now.
Don't worry. This is like I want her. It's all part of my eating out of the palm game. Of my hand. she'll want me so bad." He starts like peacocking. He like puts on a big hat. And he's like,
"Yes, like a fur coat."
Yeah. All right, Stephen. Thank you so much for being here.
Yes, thank you, Stephen.
Thank you.
You have anything you'd like to plug?
Let's see. It'll still be a little while till it comes out, but made another movie since I plugged the last movie on.
Nice.
There's a feature film called Stripper Boys, and hopefully it'll be somewhere for people to see, like late summer, fall. So
awesome,
sweet.
And it's on this podcast, so it's gonna happen.
Yeah, it's gonna happen. That's you have to write off the. Yeah. I know. I haven't even made it yet.
Yeah. Oh yeah. There's nothing. Just a title. That's it.
Yeah. I just have a title. But best of luck. Seeing how it worked out last time. Hopefully get that done.
Good vibes.
Love it. Well, thank you, Stephen.
Yeah. Thank you again for being here. This was so much fun.
Thank you for having me. This was so fun to know there's Baywatch Nights. Like, it's like.
Yeah,
it's something where I would like if I was having a party, I'd put it on in the background. Like I feel like it's like choice. One of those really good shows where it's like, oh, like you put it on, but
yes, you know, and the people every now and then be like, what did I just see on TV?
What is that?
Thank you to our friend Amanda Gould, who uploaded two seasons of Baywatch Nights. Yeah, onto,
that's how probably most everyone watches.
Yeah,
it's still. Still being watched.
I hope you're doing well out in the world, Amanda.
Yes.
We don't know who you are, but we appreciate you.
We allow us to watch Baywatch tonight. Yeah. So Thank you.
Well, Zach and I will be back next week with an all new episode of Baywatch Watch Nights. And until then,
stay wet.
At night.
Whispers.
Oh, there's the shake.